the heartland of America and the gateway to the West. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Hope you had a great weekend. 2 weeks left here in St. Louis, and it's off to go back home to Los Angeles. I'm going to stay here for my birthday, by the way, on June 4th, and then I'll be right back home in L.A. And if the 10 million of you listening tonight would like to send me a birthday present, perhaps just $1 apiece, I would accept that. Only kidding. Next hour, well, we've heard about crop formations, but tonight guest Freddie Silva takes us on a journey of uncharted territory. So make sure you're part of that program coming up in just about an hour right here on Coast to Coast AM. Here's some of the stories of the day. First of all, a Japanese geologist says he has discovered another tectonic plate under the Tokyo area. This is not good news for Japan. It is a find that may force Japan to rethink earthquake forecasts and preparations for the capital. Present government estimates there say Tokyo has a 90% chance of being hit by a major earthquake in the next 50 years. The massive tremor to hit the city last time killed 140,000 people in 1923. Now, by analyzing data on 150,000 earthquakes that took place in the region between 1979 and 2004, 150,000 of them, an expert there, his name is Shinji Toga of the National Institute of Advanced Industrial Science and Technology, he deduced that the existence of a plate that had previously been thought to be part of what is known as the Philippine Plate is really part of underneath Japan. If his findings are confirmed, the geology of the Tokyo region is even more complex and dangerous than thought. Japan is one of the world's most seismically active areas and accounts for 20% of the world's earthquakes of magnitude 6 or greater. A government disaster prevention panel estimated in February that a magnitude 7.3 quake in Tokyo would cause $1 trillion in damage and kill more than 10,000 people. In Louisiana, authorities have now gathered some new evidence from the home of a former pastor accused of leading a church group in cult-like rituals involving the abuse of children and animals. A parish sheriff spokesperson, Laura Covington, says the authorities seized cars belonging to three of the eight suspects, and in the case they also searched the home of a former Hosanna Church pastor. His name is Louis LaMonica. They also took some computers. The parish sheriff out there says members of this church apparently carried out the practices for years as part of a devil-worshipping ritual involving cat blood as well. Oh. And a woman who founded a no-kill animal shelter in New Jersey has been charged with health code and animal welfare violations. This is what they found. 200 dead cats discovered in garbage bags in her backyard. Marlene Kess, who has built a reputation in Manhattan as a caretaker of homeless and dying cats, had 48 cats inside her house, including 38 stuffed in one room. Outside, 200 cat corpses were found stuffed in garbage bags and apparently were going to be buried in a large hole. The cats were discovered after neighbors complained, obviously. In Iraq, two car bombs exploded near the home of a community leader outside the northern city of Mosul, killing at least 20 people, injuring another 20. And also today, five U.S. troops were killed by roadside bombs in a vehicle accident. A one-year-old baby has been arrested and spent the night in prison in Mexico. This is one strange story. The baby was arrested in Puerto Progreso, where his father, Roger Segundo, was trying to rob steal six vodka bottles from a supermarket. Mr. Segundo put the bottles on the baby's carriage and tried to leave the supermarket, but was caught by security. Police who got to the scene first thought it was right to arrest the baby as well because the bottles were in the baby's baby carriage. The father and son were sent to prison, but only the next morning did the policeman on duty realize that they had done something pretty dumb. If you go to the coasttocoastam.com website under Hot Stories, take a look at the wormhole story. You know, scientists have always thought, and at least science fiction authors have thought, that we could travel through wormholes to get to other distances throughout the universe. Well, now there are a couple theories out there that are way too long to explain. That's why I want you to go to the coasttocoastam.com website and read up on it. But they're saying, no, that's not the case anymore. They don't believe that you can use wormholes to travel in space. I hope they're wrong, because there's got to be another way to travel throughout the universe, because we're not going to be able to go anywhere with the kind of propulsion system we have right now. But if you had a moment, go get a piece of paper and get a pencil or a pen. And what you simply have to do is put, you know, a dot on each end of the paper and kind of fold it together where the dots hit. That's what a wormhole was supposed to do. That's how you're supposed to travel through space. But according to these two scientists now, and again, read the story on the coasttocoastam.com website, they say that's not the case anymore. A home in Sacramento's South neighborhood was surrounded by sheet metal and aluminum, neighbors calling it an eyesore. The family finally took it down when the city said, look, you better do this. The family lives in the home on Timberwood Court out there, and they claim that they needed the aluminum pieces to protect them from unknown neighbors who they say have been bombarding them with radio waves and making them sick. In a moment, we're going to be talking to an expert on this kind of surveillance, this kind of electronic eavesdropping, this kind of electronic attack and harassment. Roger Tulsis on Coast to Coast AM. Roger Tulsis is a Los Angeles private investigator. He specializes in electronic countermeasures. In the past 30 years, he has swept over 2,500 locations for bugs and wiretaps. And in recent years, his business has included helping victims of electronic harassment and mind control. Electronic harassment takes place if someone uses any electronic device to aid them in invading your person or property for the purpose of gathering information illegally or for the purpose of causing physical harm. Mr. Tulsis uses more than $100,000 worth of high-tech equipment to try to identify the source of electronic harassment. We're going to talk with Roger about this very strange situation in Sacramento. Hey, Roger, welcome back, by the way. How are you?
Great, George. You're over in St. Louis, huh?
Yeah, here for two more weeks. Came here for my son's graduation. He got a degree in criminal justice.
Okay.
And then I'm just going to stick around with my birthday and my my kids and then come back home again. So
Send him to Sacramento and tell him to bust the perpetrators for these people.
What is going on? And you've been talking to, and we've talked to the family, and they're exhausted tonight, or they would have come on, but yeah. They finally took down this sheet of aluminum around the house because the city just said, you better do it. It's an eyesore. But tell us a little bit about this case, Roger. What the heck's been going on there?
Well, I tell you, I don't know a whole lot about it because I have not been called in firsthand. I have had, over the past few days, different individuals email me the story, because basically the story apparently was broke over News 10, which is a local station up there in Sacramento. And I did talk to the reporter that went and did the interview. His name was George Warren. And you can go on the internet on their website and see the report that they had put on their news program. And apparently this family has had a directed energy aimed at their premises. And they say it's been there since 9/11 as the starting point, and that the family is getting sick, and they have found they decided to go forward and protect themselves, and they put up galvanized steel. And when you see the video that was presented on the news show,
right,
they put some of it on the roof and some of it on the siding, and then from what they were describing, they were using aluminum foil and thermal kind of blankets, you know, the kind of blankets that you take on a camping trip,
sure,
emergency basis, if you were to, you know, get caught out in the cold overnight kind of protection. And from what they were talking on this interview, it's apparent that these things were lessening the symptoms that they were getting, And they were doing some basic tests using some thermal reading equipment, and I tried to get into it a little deeper with Crystal, who's one of the daughters, about exactly what kind of testing gear they used, but she said that they were so exhausted meeting this deadline because apparently the city had come and given them the legal paperwork requiring them to remove the shield and because of it being an eyesore.
Roger, any idea why they even suspected that anybody was trying to bombard them?
Well, what we do when we get into situations like this, and, you know, I have to tell you, George, the last time that we had a show together was January 20th this year.
Yeah.
And after that show was over, my website took 870,000 hits.
You know what? I expect that from coast to coast. I mean, that happens.
Well,
but that also tells you how many people are interested in this situation, been going on.
Exactly. I had about 150 to 200 emails from people that were victims each day for almost 3 weeks. People describing the same kind of phenomenon. So it's not, you know, this is not an oddball case. The interesting part is it's hard to say exactly how this one made the media, where so many other people that are suffering and complaining of these symptoms that we've discussed before, which we can, you know, run through briefly.
Sure.
You know, the buzzing, the ringing in the ears, and the speeding up of your heart. Some people are even hearing voices and these other associated physical problems. But when you're getting hit with directed energy, you're getting hit with microwave energy particularly, you can have this whole variance of physical problems, and the only way that you get yourself away from feeling better is to get yourself away from that targeted area, or you need to use shielding that's going to do a competent job.
Well, and, you know, Roger, when you started talking about this in January when you were on Coast to Coast, and for a split second I was saying to myself, okay, Roger's joking, he's pulling my leg, there aren't that many people in this country being bombarded, having this electronic harassment. And the more you got into it, the more I realized you were pretty darn serious about this. And then when we took those phone calls afterward, they kept coming in. So there is something going on. I now believe you, but why? Why is it going on?
Well, you know, one of the things, George, is that most of these shows, we've got so much information that we only leave a short period of time to hear from some of these people that are suffering from this stuff. It might be interesting one night for us to set up a line just saying, having victims call in, and let's find out from the people that are suffering from this kind of stuff, not only what symptoms they've got and where the energy's coming from in terms of their own investigations, but who they think is behind it.
That's a good point. We can do a cursory amount at the second half hour if you can stay with us. Can you?
I'm with you, George, because
right.
You know, I try my darndest to help these people. In other words, what we would do is we would try to get into these individuals' home with our test equipment. In other words, we'll take a $40,000 spectrum analyzer in there that covers a frequency response between 10,000 cycles and 21 gigahertz, which is 21 billion cycles, well up into the microwave area, with highly directional antennas and amplifiers that we've got. And then we will kind of stake out the radio band, you know, the whole spectrum, to try to catch that energy while it's taking place. And then once the energy, you know, whatever kind of wave is and directed energy is being directed at these individuals, once we are able to see that, then what we would do is we would use highly directional antennas to try to determine the source direction that it's coming from.
Did the reporter from the television station in Sacramento tell you, Roger, who the family suspects might be electronically harassing them?
They just say neighbors, and that's all I've got from him. And like I said, I've had very limited discussion with the family themselves.
We know if this family is doing anything wrong? Or, I mean, why would they be singled out?
Well, they apparently are people from Pakistan, if I've read the information correctly. And they think that it has to do with 9/11 in the sense that people from that part of the world and those religious beliefs are being singled out. And that's my assumption from hearing it secondhand. It would have been great to have this family on tonight. I tried to yeah, catch them early enough, but they said that they were so exhausted with tearing down this shielding that they just couldn't come on.
Well, let me ask you something. We've got, this is a double-edged sword, and it's a problem, and on one hand, and on the other, it's a tough situation. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, if people are getting bombarded this way electronically with this kind of harassment, this is a violation of constitutional rights in this country. On the other hand, now, Raj, let me ask you this. What if this government truly believes that there are terrorists all over the place, and so they're just trying to listen in on what they're talking about? Do they have the right to do that, in your opinion?
Well, with the Patriot Act, not only do they have made the right to do that, but they can just come on into your home and surreptitious entry, copy your hard drive, photograph the contents of your location, sample your DNA, and then somewhere, you know, 6 months down the line, send you a notice saying, oh, you know, we stopped in one day and you weren't home. The Patriot Act, this new Patriot Act, is terrible relating to the Fourth and Fifth Amendment. And the Founding Fathers specifically had set up a Fourth Amendment such that when the location was going to be searched, you'd be presented with a document at your front door saying that we're coming in to search, and here's what we're looking for, and that the search would be specific to some probable cause for something that you have, you know, done that we believe is criminal. But this is a fishing expedition these days.
Now let me ask you about the technical means from this family. So in engulfing your home with this kind of material, the aluminum pieces and the other kinds of metals, I mean, does that indeed stop the electronic harassment, the bombardment? Will that work?
Well, that's a good question, because like I said before, here's the simple test, that if you believe that you're getting hit with microwaves, and you set up some kind of shielding. You know, I know people that use thick aluminum foil. I have actually had a wealthy client in Texas that spent over $11,000 putting copper foil in a room, including the ceiling and the floor, and then electrically connecting it and grounding it. It was very expensive, and there was some designer that told him that it was going to work. And unfortunately, when I went in there and tested the room with my spectrum analyzing systems with these $40,000 pieces of gear that are precision, we found that the indoor to outdoor, I mean the inside, the location versus the outside, really didn't have any difference. And the thing about microwaves is that they have to be channeled through what's known as waveguides. So it isn't just shielding that's going to do it. You actually have to set it up so the wave is either reflected or redirected. It's kind of complicated physics.
Had these people called you, Roger, if they had called you and brought you to their house, could you have set up the equipment? Could you have found where the electronic bombardment was occurring?
As long as it was taking place, because a lot of times what happens is if it is coming from a hostile neighbor that's making some attempt at trying to injure these people as far as their health and as far as harassing them, and they think that something's going on, then those directed energies could be shut off at the source.
And I think in our first discussion in January, you were telling me that some people could use their home microwave oven to do this, right?
Well, that was some of the cases that had come up prior, where people had peeled the side of the microwave oven open and had redirected the metal on the outside to make a waveguide. And basically what they had is an 800-watt directed energy weapon. And if you go to my website, we have pictures of that exact microwave oven and, of course, also an illustration of what it looked like. That's on the bugsweeps.com website, which is our website. And then, of course, on the main page, there's a vibrating box that says electronic harassment. If you click on that, that'll take you to that page. I know you guys didn't have time to set it up again tonight, as far as the URL link. But that is exactly what has happened in the past. People have been using homemade modified microwave ovens and blasting people through walls. And, you know, this is not science fiction. This is the real thing.
When we come back, Roger, I'd like you to tell us a little bit of the symptoms when people are getting electronically bombarded, and also talk a little bit about mind control. Again, Roger's website, bugsweeps.com, and As a matter of fact, I think Lex has it linked up. Yep, it's already set. He's done. So if you go to the coasttocoastam.com website, click Roger's name under First Hour Guest, it'll take you right to his website. When we come right back, we'll take phone calls. Those of you who think that you are being electronically bombarded, if you know where it's coming from, why don't you give Roger a call? I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Get daily automatic MP3 downloads of tonight's show and every night show with the new Coast to Coast AM podcast. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.
It's the same kind of story that seems to come down from long ago. Two friends having coffee together when something flies by their window. It might be out on that lawn, which is wide at least half of a playing field. Because there's no explaining. Your imagination can make you see and feel. Somebody must be maybe hypnotized.
Live from somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Found out that a friend of mine was bitten by a brown recluse spider. He had no idea what it was. And all of a sudden, that bite really started to take off, put practically a hole in his leg, and they have been thinking about amputating him now. Can you believe that? Just to get bitten by a spider, and now you have all those kinds of problems. So I wish him well and a quick recovery. Keep our fingers crossed there. Hey, by the way, thanks for continuing to sponsor Children from Children International. They had set a goal for us of 500. We are way past the halfway point. If you've got the $18 a month where you can sponsor a child, call this toll-free number, 1-800-869-9863, 1-800-869-9863, or you can go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. On the left-hand side, click the yellow flashing banner. It'll take you straight to Children International. You can sponsor a child that way. And let me tell you something, everyone who has sponsored one so far to date, they just have sent me emails. It's one of the greatest things they've ever done, and they're just having a thrill. You get information on the child. They send you pictures. They keep in touch with you. It's kind of neat. So if you want to do that, call the web, call the phone number 1-800-869-9863, or go to the website, coasttocoastam.com. Yeah. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, our guest this hour, Roger Tulsis. We're going to take your phone calls as well and probably get you to share some of your stories, whether you think you're being electronically harassed or bombarded. Roger, what are some of the symptoms of people who are getting electronically bombarded? What symptoms here?
Okay, headache, eye irritation, dizziness, nausea, facial swelling, weakness, fatigue, pain in the joints or muscles, buzzing, ringing in ears, skin numbness, abdominal pressure and pain, breathing difficulty, irregular heartbeat, sexual stimulation, sometimes even hearing voices. Additional problems can be paralysis, balance problems, body and or muscle spasm, convulsions, confusion, depression, difficulty in concentrating, seizures, sleep disturbances, and memory difficulties. So there's a whole litany of problems that can be caused when you take something like microwaves that interfere with brain processes. Not only do you disturb the stability of the mental portions, but also the brain controls and regulates all the other body functions that can become askew as well.
Roger, does a person have to be directly interfered with? Because, you know, we're getting bombarded with all kinds of things every day. Microwaves, high power lines. Is it possible they're all affecting us too?
Of course. Of course. As a matter of fact, I have had many clients that have lived near power lines that have, on an ongoing basis, their health deteriorates. A lot of the symptoms that we're talking here also are applicable to people that are near large power systems as well.
All right, let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, where are you calling from, dear?
Oh, I cannot believe it. I'm calling from Hollywood, California.
Okay.
This is my first-time calling, and I just love you. Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Okay, what I wanted to talk about was I live right off of the boulevard where they have the Christmas parade at.
Sure.
In Hollywood. And so about a 2 years ago, I'm excited, I was sitting home, and someone was on the roof of the building next door to me, and they were just sitting there scouting. It was at night, and it was about a week before the parade, so they were scouting the area. And this is where everybody kind of park and wait to start the parade.
Okay.
And so what happened was, when I looked out the window and I saw the person, and then all of a sudden someone projected a horror picture beam, you know, a projection on the rooftop to try to make me think that I was, you know, crazy or whatever. But it was a projection of a horror picture. Mm. And then the guy who was standing on the roof itself, he shined a laser beam on me. And at that time, I became disorientated, but I went to my computer and I typed everything down like really fast so I know exactly what happened. But I was disorientated for a while, and I just wanted to tell you that I emailed you a couple of years ago and told you about it.
Oh, yes, you did. I remember that. Now, but, you know, you had not mentioned why you thought they were going after you.
Well, the thing is, I think that they were going after the Christmas parade. I think that maybe somebody was trying to do something, because this is where all the, you know, everybody in the Christmas parade, this is where they park at. And so they were on the building, and I live like a block. I'm right there. Not a block, but I'm just right here. Hmm. And so they were on top of this building scouting it out. So I think that they were trying to do something to the parade, and I just happened to be a nosy neighbor looking out my window.
Okay, or they were simply scouting out the parade to make sure that it was working well. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, George. My name is Mike. I'm calling from Gary, Indiana.
Mike, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. I loved your show, especially the one about Japan and
that's okay. No
and
problem.
China. But what happens at night, I turn my radio off. Okay, it's
all right.
It's a boom box, and it'll wake me up. I'll hear beep, 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 coming from the radio.
That's been turned off.
That's right. And I'm wondering, is it picking up maybe a plane going by with its radar, or maybe a police car or something?
Roger, have you ever heard of a radio that's been turned off that would still react like that?
Well, I have. Basically, a lot of these radios aren't really off. The circuits are still on, so sometimes as extraneous magnetic fields or directed energies enter a location, they will cause a resonance or a pop or a click of any electronic system that's in an idle kind of status.
Uh-huh. Now, do you plug it in, or does it have batteries?
It's plugged in.
Okay, so if he unplugs it, Raj, would that solve the problem?
Well, that would be the next thing to try, is to try to totally, you know, power it down. But these days, with these solid-state circuits, and some of them actually have internal batteries on the boards that keep them working anyway, that's why you don't, you know, when the power goes down, you don't lose time. We were discussing that with cell phones as far as being tracked by cell phones. Remember, we were having those discussions about,
yes,
when you walk around, that they know exactly where you are, even if you never made a phone call, that unless the batteries are removed, you wouldn't really know that you were safe in terms of not being located at any time, at any point.
Good point. International Line, where might you be calling from? Hi there.
Hi there, George. This is George calling from Santa Luisa, Mexico.
Oh, hi, George. Go ahead.
I was calling about... you were talking. Your guest was talking about that $40,000 piece of equipment there, and down here, I built something that it doesn't work quite as well as the one you got probably does. But I built it for nuts and bolts prices. It's called a coupled interferometer. Have you heard of one?
What is that, dude? How about you, Raj? Have you heard of this thing?
Well, an interferometer, that would be some kind of heat measuring gear.
It's like a tri-field meter, only it uses three couples. It picks up all kinds of crazy stuff down here.
So what have you been picking up?
Weird stuff that you shouldn't be getting, like K-band, and there's no K-band emitters around here. I mean, I'm down in Mexico, you know, there's nobody around here. I'm in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, you have satellites. See, that's the main thing. If you go to my website, you can see the Iridium satellite system that's cruising overhead. It's got, you know, a total of 77 satellites. And basically what it does is it divides the whole world up in little quadrants, little cell quadrants, and... it will cover the whole planet. So you do have microwaves coming in from space.
Why did you, George? Why'd you make it, George? I'm curious.
Well, I just had nothing to do, and it seemed like a good, neat idea.
All right, pretty smart. When you don't have anything to do, you can develop one of these things. Why do people use this kind of device, Roger?
Well, as far as the tri-field meter that he's talking about, they measure several different things. They measure normal EMF radiations from electrical machines like your refrigerators and your microwave ovens and all that, because everybody's got that in their home to begin with.
True.
And once you've got 60 cycles going through your walls and 60 cycles ongoing feeding motors that are operating in refrigerators and other things, then you are already in a constant 60-cycle magnetic field. So by using these meters that measure those fields, magnetic fields, that's helpful. And then these meters also measure the microwave band and the lower RF bands. So they're about $100 meters. They're real simple field strength meters, but they will give you some basic indication of the levels that you have in the 60-cycle and radio spectrum and magnetic spectrum bands.
First-time caller line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir.
Hi. I got a question for your guest.
All right.
I live on a crest, and there are terrestrial microwave communications. That's correct, right?
Roger?
Well, terrestrial meaning what? You mean from outer space?
No. Drugstore to drugstore, cell tower to cell tower.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're talking about T-carriers and other long-link kind of connections?
Yeah, are their positions a matter of public record?
That's a good question. Some of them list the tower sites are listed with the FCC, but I don't think the details of their frequency transmissions and their directions are there.
So if I'm living on a crest geographically, business concerns that may communicate via microwave. Mm-hmm. Could be putting their tower height to match my house height.
Well, that's true.
And if I was under the impression that they would only crank up the power even more if my house occluded the signal.
Well, they will. They'll crank up any power necessary to make the link work. So
how would I be able to? I mean, I was getting some symptoms like headaches and I was really starting to wonder at one point, and I was just wondering if businesses, like, I don't know if, like, drugstores communicate to one another and then upload to a satellite dish. I was just wondering how much noise could be going through our houses from, you know, commercial concerns.
Right. Well, it's electrosmog. If we could see it, I bet you it would be as near a bigger problem as looking at automobile smog.
If you went into any house in this country, Roger, with all your equipment and set it up, what would it generally show, regardless of whether you think they're being bombarded or not? Just a standard house, yeah. Any place in America.
Well, they're generally going to be filled with not only a large 60-cycle field, which is predominant because all your internal wiring in the walls and all these other things we described feeding all your appliances put up these large fields. But you're also going to be hit with all the transmission fields from FM radio band, transmission bands for the communications for the police, which is the 400 megahertz band, the 800 megahertz band. You're being hit with all the microwaves coming off microwave towers for the cell phone systems. And like we discussed before, when we had gone to Colorado, this lady lived across from three cell towers, and at 5 o'clock in the morning, when all these people hit the freeway and hundreds of cell phones went on, all these towers start broadcasting all these channels, and the power level comes up, and her heart started palpitating.
Good point.
And so you got those microwave bands, you have all the television bands, you've got all these new bands that are now being realigned. They're realigning all the 800 megahertz bands for the communications for emergency vehicles and things. And so as we go on here, the amount of power in the radio bands is starting to hit these levels that are saturating in residential areas.
All right, let's go to east of the Rockies. Where might you be calling from? Hi there.
Hi, I'm calling from Tupelo, Mississippi. My name is Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Good morning to you, George, and to Roger. Thank you so much for this program.
Sure thing.
About 5 years ago, they put up a phone tower in the field across from my house. I live in a fairly rural area. It's about, I would estimate, 100 feet from my house. My husband has had to have 5 stents put in his heart. I have now been diagnosed with my 4th arthritis. What can we do about these? Do phone towers cause this stuff?
Yeah. Well, for people that can't move, we've been using metallized fabric to shield them. In other words, these sleeping cloths that are made of copper and silver.
Uh-huh.
And first of all, you want to make sure you're not sleeping on a bed with any metal in it. You don't want springs in your mattress because that makes your mattress a gigantic antenna that amplifies all these things. Like in my own home, I sleep on a foam mattress on top of a waterbed wood frame with no metal other than just a couple of brackets in the wood portion. But other than that, there's no metal. And then if you're on the bottom floor with the earth under, you're fine from that standpoint. And then you get one of these covers that we're talking about, which we sell, and you can put that over you, and it will knock the whole radio frequency band down by a factor of 5, roughly a power of 5.
This is a big problem, Roger. It's a real problem. Do you think this is occurring throughout this planet, or is it just symptomatic of the United States?
Well, anywhere you have cell systems, you might remember, George, I sent you an email from this one fellow that emailed us after the last show, and he said that his daughter, who was 8 years old, was an A student and a very well-behaved young lady, and then he bought her a cell phone. Do you remember that email?
Oh, yes, yes. I read that on the air.
And what happened was is she ended up starting to be on the cell phone and having the cell phone up against her head at night, especially with her, you know, free time and talking to her friends. And over those next weeks, her grades deteriorated, and her demeanor became very aggressive. She was getting into fights and altercations, and she became very aggressive. And her whole stability and demeanor and ability to do work at school successfully changed. And this fellow couldn't quite understand what the heck had happened, that this was like a different, his daughter turned into a different person. And then he took the cell phone away, and in a matter of a few days to a week, she started to go back to her old self again. And, of course, this research has come out now that when you start putting microwaves up to your brain, you disorient the whole electrical firing of the brain, and that your brain, once you remove the cell phone, doesn't recover for hours.
It takes a long time, and if you've been doing it over a series of years, you really might have a serious situation.
Well, yeah, especially with the developing brain of a young person like that. But I thought that was a particularly interesting. See, we learn things from your show because we, you know, we put it out there, and then we hear from individuals like this father that was saying, "Hey, look what happened to me. Once I took the phone away from her, she went back to this sweet little child that was actually conscientious and making good grades at school, and her aggressive nature disappeared."
You know, ever since I saw little kids on the cell phones after reading that email, I've wanted to go up to parents going, you might not want to do that, but I held back, Roger.
Yeah, well, this is something we need to talk about because I bet you there's people out there that are about to put kids on Ritalin, and in fact, they're spending time, if not on their own cell phones, on their friends' cell phones. And, you know, this is something that really they haven't done much research on.
If people think that they're being electronically bombarded or harassed, what should they do?
Well, the first thing they need to do is to get somebody that's got the gear like ourselves to come there and take a look and find out, you know, what it is. But if you've got symptoms that we mentioned here and that your doctors are just giving you things to treat the symptoms, you really need to get to the source and find out whether you are in an area that is saturated with either microwaves or whether somebody's directing energy at you because they're trying to hurt you.
You know, there's a new kind of sheetrock that they're making now, too, that has some kind of metal layer which helps block out some of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know what? If I were rebuilding a house, I'd use that kind of material in it.
You know, I would have to test it in my microwave lab before I could tell you whether it's working or not. But
now, that's a good point.
Hopefully we'll hear a little more from, maybe we can get these people in Sacramento on the show to give us some more details of why they went to the extreme levels of putting this metal sheeting on their home.
Absolutely. Roger, thanks so much for the information. I appreciate it.
Okay, George.
That's Roger Tulsis. His website, it's bugsweeps.com, linked up with his name now on coasttocoastam.com. In a moment, of course, we're going to be chatting with our guest, Freddie Silva, who's going to take us on a journey of uncharted territory as we talk about crop formations worldwide right here on Coast to Coast AM.
Want to time travel? Go back to past shows on Streamlink. Sign up online at coasttocoastam.com.